everybody. Welcome to In the Mind of Frage, my Tuesday podcast show all about interviews, experiences, and entrepreneurs. Thank you guys for your incredible emails about the three-part Rob Shear series. Many of you were so moved by Rob's story that you donated to Comfort Cases. So thank you. You always answer the call. Today starts a two-part series with a woman that I'm inspired by, and I think you'll also be very emotionally touched by, a woman named Valencia Harris. Valencia is a Washington, D.C. resident, and 7 years ago, we just passed the seventh anniversary, Valencia's daughter, Unique Harris, went missing. You might remember this story. Unique was 24 years old at the time. She lived in an apartment in southeast Washington, D.C., and she was the mom of two little boys. She was abducted in the middle of the night, and so far, no one has heard anything. No suspect has ever been named. No one has ever been arrested. Here's what we do know. We know that Unique was taken in the early morning hours of October 10th, and all that was taken was Unique herself, her keys, and her cell phone. Her two little boys were sleeping in her fourth-story apartment, and so was her niece, and they never heard a thing. So far, there's never been an arrest, as I mentioned, but Valencia has now dedicated her life to finding her daughter. What happened to Unique Harris? It's now a cold case, and Valencia is here today to talk about her story, to share the tragedy that has happened to her 7 years ago. Where is this story now? Because there's a renewed hope. There's some light at the end of the tunnel for this story. But Valencia also shares what she thinks happened to Unique that night. And we're hoping and praying that somebody listening to this podcast has that one key, that one fact that will change the course of this story and will bring closure and healing for Valencia, Unique's boys, and the DC community. Valencia Harris is slender. She's very young looking. She has shoulder length hair. She's black. And her daughter was 24, as I mentioned, when she went missing. Here is part one of our interview. Unique goes missing from her home. Yes. All that was taken were her keys, her cell phone, and Unique and her. And 7 years later, you have been, as I mentioned, on a mission to find out what happened to your daughter.
Pretty much.
And your story... First of all, I was introduced to you by a guy who just does incredible civic work, Henderson Long, who
yes.
has dedicated his life to helping find the missing
yes.
in the missing and exploited in Washington, D.C.
Definitely a fair statement.
So tell us this. I've been reading a lot about your daughter and this story. You know, when this happened, take us back. How did you originally find out?
Well, I originally found out the night prior, October the 9th of 2010, I spoke with Unique on the phone because I said, you know, as I said, me and Unique talked on the phone every day. Mm. So we talked to Unique that night of the 9th, probably between 8:30 and 9:30 p.m.
Okay.
My grandsons were, you know, very, very, you know, upbeat in the background because a great niece of mine was there spending the night with Unique. Unique was just moving back into the District of Columbia, so she was reconnecting with our family that we hadn't seen and so forth and so on. So she had my great niece there for a sleepover.
Hmm.
The next morning, the children wake up at, say, about between 8:30 and 9:30 a.m., and Unique is not in the apartment. So my great niece, the older of all the three children, my two grandsons and my great niece, she called her mom and told her mom, well, mom, Unique is not here. You know, we're up and Unique is not here. So my great niece's mother, you know, she figured, she's thinking, okay, well, maybe Unique tried to run out before the children woke up.
Sure,
you know,
to get,
you know, last minute, you know, whatever miscellaneous for breakfast or something. So she said she told my great niece, okay, well, if Unique is not back in such and such amount of period of time, then give me a call. Well, apparently that went on throughout the day, unbeknownst to me, until I was contacted maybe between 3:30 and 4:30 that afternoon.
Wow.
And, you know, I'm thinking, and I think one of the first questions that I asked my great niece mom was, well, when is the last time anybody saw or talked to Unique? You know, I'm just trying to sort all these things out in my mind, because at this point, you know, you don't even know anything is wrong.
Sure.
Until you get the details.
You didn't have a ping in your stomach. Did you begin to have a ping that maybe something is wrong, or you just thought?
At that point, when Tiffany told me that Unique was not accounted for since that morning, I knew that was totally out of character for her.
For her. Okay, so you guys end up, you know, you realize something is wrong, you notify police, and then what happened? Tell me that. Were they closed? Did they have any idea where she might have gone? What happened?
I really don't think, and we have to keep in mind that this is still while Chief Kathy Lanier was in place.
Okay.
I think that my daughter was stereotyped. Because I even had questions from the initial officers that responded to my original 911 call that asked me, has she ever done this before? Does she have a boyfriend? Do you think she may have left with her boyfriend? And I even had one to go as far as to ask me if I thought my daughter was just, you know, trying to escape from her life for a while, you know, to whatever, you know what I mean? Like, you think she just was tired of, you know, the responsibilities of being a mom? And my instant reaction is, hell no.
So did you feel like that was really inappropriate at the time, or did you feel like they do that for everybody?
You did. But then, you know, over the course of these last 7 years that I've come to, first of all, you know, forgive the fact that, you know, they don't know my daughter from the next person.
Right.
My daughter, at that juncture, I feel was just a case number to them. I feel like they thought, you know, the stereotypical, you know, young African-American single mom, you know, or either on drugs, and, you know, they even asked me, you know, does she do drugs? I'm like, my daughter doesn't do any drugs. You know, my daughter, you know, she doesn't even really drink. So, you know, that to me were, in my opinion, you know, idiotic questions to be asking, you know, in reference to this, when you have a mom here that's saying, my daughter's gone. She needs to be searched for. Something's not right here. She doesn't do this type of thing, you know, and it really insulted me in the beginning, because, you know, they didn't have to go to my grandson's school and talk to their teachers, where their teachers were like totally befuddled at the fact that, you know, Unique was just here a few days ago because my younger grandson had, you know, a little bit of a behavioral problem. So Unique had went just a couple of days before she was abducted to his class and sat in his class with him pretty much the whole day. This is the type of mom that she is.
Right.
Does that sound like a mom that's just going to leave her children?
So these weeks and months after Unique goes missing, do you feel like police really, you know, did they come and fingerprint her apartment? Did they come
after I requested those things?
So none of that
I've
was
had
like
to request pretty much everything in Unique's case. And to take it a little bit further, the actual leads that they initially got, which, you know, may still at this juncture, I'm not sure, you know, actually turn into what the scenario was that night.
Okay.
Me and my family went on the street and got those people.
You guys went and worked
these
street
people. And, you know, this is the person that, you know, we knew she talked to a couple of days before. This is the person that, you know, we got those things.
And you were reporting them back to police.
And I was reporting them back to police. And then I had, you know, newspapers that were saying there was no foul play involved. So that was another battle I had to fight. Don't say there's no foul play involved, because you're perpetrating an image to the public like my daughter just
left. Ran away, right.
You know, so it's been some uphill battles, for sure.
Okay, so let's go through, because there have been some unanswered questions, some rumors out there in Unique's case in regards to some things, some information, some tips that a lot of people have said, hey, could these have solved the crime? Was Unique's cell phone ever traced? One of the big questions in this case that was asked is, were her cell phone records or a list of the cell phone pings ever done by police right after she was abducted?
Well, no, as far as I know, the tower pinging situation has not been addressed. Now, the actual phone numbers of the numbers that were on her telephone record leading up to this situation have been, you know, retrieved from the phone company. But as far as her cell phone pings, like where was the phone pinging from and that sort of thing, I have never seen any evidence that that was done. I'm not saying that it wasn't done because
you
it could
just
have
haven't
been. I just
seen
don't
it.
Know and have not seen that for myself.
What about this? On October 10th, the night that she went missing, reportedly there was a phone call that came in around 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. The timeline that police have put together is shortly thereafter, she may have gone outside to put trash out and then was never seen again. Is that correct?
I don't see my daughter going to put no trash out at 3 o'clock in the morning, first of all.
You don't? Okay.
No. No,
so you don't think she went outside the house?
I don't even have a pattern of doing that. Right. So, you know, and she didn't have a pattern of doing that. You know, Unique is a very safety conscientious person because I taught her that.
So this person, you did tell me the update of the 3 a.m. phone call, which did in fact happen, and you know who that person is.
Yes, I've actually talked to that person personally.
Do you believe that person has anything to do with her disappearance?
No. I don't believe, like I said, nothing is 100%,
mm-hmm.
but I do not believe that that person could have sat in front of me and had a conversation with me about this, where they were more than willing to do that, when they made, you know, good eye contact with me. I never, you know, sensed a hint of, you know, uncomfort or, you know, any uneasiness in that person at all. And wow. I mean, I've had an eyeball to eyeball conversation with them face to face. So if they did have something to do with it, it would totally shock me.
Also, I had read a lot of people had wondered if Unique had a computer in the home and if there was any interactions with people leading up to it, whether it was Craigslist or an email or anything.
No, Unique had a few desktop computers that I had given her, but they weren't even hooked up yet. I believe back then Unique had a MySpace account, but, you know, she wasn't, you know, a computer geek like some of us are. I'm not, but I'm trying to get there learning. I've had to learn a lot over these last few years.
Yes, you're very active on Facebook. You
but,
know what you're doing.
Yeah, I've had to learn all these things. When this originally happened, you know, I had a Facebook page, but I probably went on the Facebook page maybe once or twice a month.
One of the other things that I read about this story is that there were reports that Unique had actually witnessed a murder in a park near this new apartment that she was living in about a week or so before her abduction.
Yes.
And a lot of people have felt whoever that murder was, whoever, they may have seen Unique and that would be an answer.
That case has been resolved. That murder has been solved.
Really?
And that murder, other than close timing, you know, weirdly close timing, that had nothing to do with Unique's abduction.
What about a neighbor? You know, obviously Unique's two sons were in the home. Mm-hmm. They didn't hear anything. Unique's, her niece was in the home at the time. No, the kids never heard anything. Did a neighbor ever come forward? Anyone know?
Actually, the neighbors in that neighborhood, is quite a few of them that, you know, in my opinion, know something.
Really? You think?
Her neighbor that was directly next door to Unique's apartment. And I mean, Unique's apartment is sitting here, and the other neighbor that I'm speaking of, apartment was right next to Unique. You know, let's just say cordial. They, you know, pretty much slammed the door in my face. Told me, we don't know nothing about that. We don't know nothing about that. And slammed the door in my face.
Holy God.
So that gave me a hint of, you know, I was fighting an uphill battle with her community, too.
Wow.
Because, I mean, your next door neighbor, someone comes to my door, I'm, oh, my God, oh, my Lord, I'm going to assure you that I didn't hear anything. I'm going to at least be cordial enough to invite you in.
Hmm.
And I understand because, you know, I've been in that arena pretty much half my life. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I understand that, you know, no snitching rule or, you know,
right.
the code of the streets or whatever they call it. I understand that all too well. I've been there. I've done that. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? On a totally, you know, way out of the atmosphere level. So I understand that, but not at one time. When I was in that environment where I didn't look at people as human beings.
What do you believe happened to Unique?
I think she was stalked. I think someone got a fixation on Unique. They followed her unbeknownst to her. It may have been a situation where she, you know, had a, you know, cordial relationship with this person, such as hi and bye or even conversations on the phone or whatever the case may be. And I think it was somebody that, you know, wouldn't take no for an answer from my daughter. Because I'm not, you know, trying to sound facetious or cocky or anything, but my daughter's a very attractive young woman. And, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, makes her in an elite situation where she can't be touched. Anybody can be touched and dealt with. But, you know, when you're in a certain environment, you know, there's a certain element of people, especially like, you know, repeat offenders. Because like I said, you know, I think I was speaking to you earlier about it. There is a halfway house in that area where Unique lived at.
Right.
So that's another avenue. You know, could it have been somebody in that halfway house, you know?
What about an ex-boyfriend? They ever find an ex-boyfriend or was...
Well, my grandson's father was polygraph, but... You know, like this was back in Lanier's. You know, I like to keep, you know, Lanier's regime and Chief Newsom's, you know, tenure separate.
Okay.
Back in the beginning, it took, when it was still under Chief Kathy Lanier, which is one reason why I say this woman didn't give a damn about finding my daughter. They had a situation where... I feel like she should have been a whole lot more engaged in, as far as on a chief level where, you know, there were some things that I felt like were not being done.
Okay.
And, you know, at this, you know, time, I still don't feel like she did what she could have done for my daughter. And
now, so your grandson's... Wait, was it your grandson's father?
Yes. That's exactly where I wanted to go to. I'm kind of hesitant of saying certain things.
Okay.
Because I want to, at the same time, protect my grandsons
sure.
from me saying anything adverse about their dad.
Because is he still in their life?
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
But, you know, why did it take Kathy Lanier's regime 8 months to polygraph this man when him and Unique have been engaged in a child custody battle from 2008. It shouldn't have taken 8 months for him to be polygraphed.
Did he
to
pass?
To this date, his mom, which Unique has actually had, you know, let's just say not so nice words between them, that woman has never been polygraphed. Kathy Lanier did not care about my daughter. Plain and simple.
Wow.
And I'm telling it to you now. I've told it to other people. And I'll tell it to her.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because that's always the first people, you know, that you have to rule out.
And me, in the beginning, when the detective, you know, when I think they started taking it a little bit more seriously, asked me the relationship with Unique's children's father and her, I gave them the court papers. This guy was due back in court for another child support hearing on October the 24th or the 25th, which was 2 weeks after Unique was taken. Why was he not polygraphed immediately? 8 months?
Did he pass that, by the way?
I heard that he did okay. Now, as far as pass or fail, nobody's ever specifically told me, Ms. Harris, he passed the test with flying colors. So that's one of the reasons why he's still on my radar. He's not away from my radar either. His mom, because his mom, you know, I don't care how she tries to play now. Right. She didn't care for my daughter.
How about Unique's son? So they were 3 and 5 when it happened. They're 10 and 12 now. I mean, they must be, I mean, so devastated. Do they have memories of her?
I'm so proud of my grandsons because through all of this adversity, you know, here I am at least halfway through my life. And I don't even know what it feels like not to have my mom or my dad because by the grace of God, they're still here with me.
Wow.
So on that level, I can't even engage, connect, or even attempt to imagine what's going on in them internally. But I noticed with my older grandson, who was four and a half, five at the time, he still to this day has problems sleeping.
Yeah.
He'll tell you. Well, when I went to sleep one night, my mom was there. And when I woke up the next morning, she was gone. So maybe if I stay woke, she'll come home. Whereas in my younger grandson, he's very angry.
Yeah.
He's very angry. He does his share of fighting. Then, you know, he has a hair pin trigger temper. You know, someone says something about his mom, he's instantly enraged to the point of physically fighting. But other than that, as far as, you know, their academics, because they know, and we definitely, Unique siblings and I, instill in them, you know, how valuable, you know, an education is and how much my daughter was and actually engaged in their education, and they remember.
Wow.
Unique being at their school, sitting at that school, making sure that my youngest grandson did what the teacher told him to do and was following, you know, the rules and regulations and protocol. So, you know, I'm so proud of my grandsons because, you know, they could have, you know, really sunk into deep despair.
So difficult for those boys. You know, you've gotten a lot of national attention. How have you done that?
By the grace of God, I have managed to persevere this whole 7 years. And I think my perseverance has paid off, and Unique has gotten a whole lot more media attention than some cases that I have been made aware of and engaged with the family over the last 7 years.
Yeah, you've gotten an incredible amount. My God, you've been on Lisa Ling.
Yes.
I mean,
with Lisa Ling, Maury Povich back in October. Earlier on, I think like the first or the second year, I was on The View with Whoopi Goldberg, you know, Joy Behar.
Did any of that prompt any decent leads, or did that just kind of...
Oh, yeah, we've got leads as far away as Australia.
Really?
Yeah.
But anything you think actually was, like, real and useful, or you think a lot of people just inserting themselves?
I think it's a lot of people that sometimes want to insert themselves, especially when they find out there is a $25,000 reward.
Ah, gotcha,
being
gotcha.
Offered, you know, up to $25,000, people are gonna, you know, the cuckoos come out sometimes, you know.
Right. You said, and I thought this really struck me. So you said that for you, you know, you don't know what closure looks like, and you've never grieved because you don't know any answers. That struck me as so hard. Like, over 7 years, what's it been like? I mean, you must, because I just think of how close I am with my mom and my oma, and I just get very emotional for you, because have you ever had some moments where you're just like, I don't know, just like it's all fallen apart? Because it just really...
Quite
hard
a few
to
moments.
Imagine.
I mean, I can't even. I've lost count of how many moments I've had like that. I've literally lost count of how many moments I've had like that, because when your mind and your heart and your body and soul does not have the rest, It's just like with, you know, that's one of the reasons why I took up, you know, advocacy for unresolved homicides, because anything unresolved, there is no peace in an unresolved situation such as this.
Right.
There's no peace, you know. You know, it's like with the unresolved homicides. Okay, sure, you've been able to lay your loved one to rest and so forth and so on, but you still have over here where nobody's paying for it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Where's the justice?
Do you think you're ready for the closure? Because I really know that you are going to find out. Are you ready for all scenarios?
I've been praying for this from earlier on. When I say, I don't know what she is, but God knows what she is. Mm. I've had deep, in-depth, middle-of-the-night conversations with God that if he has already taken Unique home with him, I'm fine with that.
Wow.
The problem that I have is that I don't know that.
Right.
So until I know this is how it's going to go, I'm going to keep on moving. I'm going to keep on pressing forward. I'm going to keep on stomping on the devil.
Yeah.
And all of his little satanic helpers, because those type come into an arena like this as well.
Right.
You know, you have people that's trying to use your child's name for their own gain, publicity, and, you know, when you say something to them about it, then they're, oh, well, she's not trying to accept my help. All help is not good help. If you're trying to suck the life from my daughter that I don't even know is gone yet, you don't expect me to be upset?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all help is not good help, you know?
Yeah. The light at the end of the tunnel for this story is there is a man in a department who have now sort of had this renewed energy for this case. And I have to tell you, I just have a really good feeling that you're going to get answers. I really, really do.
You've been talking to Chief Nushin. You've been talking to Chief Nushin.
I just have a really good feeling. But, you know, it's really because of you, because nobody with your grit is going to go unanswered. You know what I mean? No one with your grit. You know?
I think that's why, you know, for one, and I want to give a shout out to Pamela Butler's family. You know, her brother Derek, her mother Thelma. Mm. That woman is a pillar of strength. I mean, for her to be, you know, over 80 years old and she still fought tooth and nail for her daughter. You have to. It's no other choice.
Yeah. You also told me, you know, because of Chief Newsom's involvement now, you kind of have this renewed confidence, you know, and new detectives have been assigned to this case.
I'm feeling even more confident because at this juncture, for about the last year or two, there has been two detectives working simultaneously on Unique's case.
Wow.
This is the first time that's happened in the history of her case. It's been five prior to that.
Wow.
So you talk about 7 years and seven different detectives whose hands this case has been in. Me personally, I would have preferred for, you know, one detective to take it all the way through. But we've had detectives that have went out and retired on my daughter's back and didn't do a damn thing to try to find her. Mm. And then we have those now that are dogged, that are, yes, we're going to get Miss Harris and we're going to, you know, get the answers for Unique's family that they deserve, which I give, you know, the utmost credit, you know, under, you know, Chief Newsom. It's been, you know, Detective Diane Wise and Detective Brian Wise. Diane Davis.
Okay.
And Brian Wise. And they have, you know, definitely given me a feeling and a vibe that, you know, they are consistently work in this case and that they want my family and myself to get the closure, whatever that is,
right,
that we deserve. Because at this juncture, I don't know what closure is. You know, I know a lot of people say, oh, well, I know you're, you know, you really, really want closure. And I'm looking at them like, what does that word mean? I don't know what that word means. I don't know what the word grief means. I can't grieve my daughter. I can't go to a tombstone or, you know, lay my daughter to rest.
You don't know what happened.
I don't even know what happened.
Right. Valencia, you have been amazing on this podcast. Where can people follow you to send you good help?
Well, I have Unique on, like I told you, this whole social media thing has blown up for me. I didn't have Instagram before this. I didn't have Twitter before this. I didn't have any of that. All I had was a little Facebook page that I rarely went on. But now I have not only my personal Facebook page, which I'm listed under Valencia Harris.
Okay.
I also have a Facebook page for Unique called Awaiting Unique Safe Return.
Okay.
They can send friend requests to that. They can send me personal friend requests. I have a instant message chat group that I engage with on a daily basis.
Okay.
That is called Unique Raquel Leona Harris. Come home now. Also, leave my phone number open, my own personal primary cell phone number open for any tips or ideas or, you know, just words of encouragement. Sometimes people just send me words of encouragement to help, you know, to keep me moving along. My phone number is 202-664-3173. Again, it's 202-664-3173.
If you have any information, please contact Valencia Harris. The number is the information that she just gave out. One of the questions that Valencia did, and one of the reasons that Valencia did this podcast is because she believes there is someone out there that knows something. I think we all believe that. And maybe this podcast can connect her with the person that knows what happened to Unique to give Unique Sons closure, Valencia closure, and the DC community. What about those dogged detectives that are now working to solve Unique's case and Chief Newsham? He's the one man that I constantly heard great things about from Henderson and from Valencia and from many, many others with his energy to solve cold cases. Well, for the first time ever, he's going to do a podcast interview, and that's next week on In the Mind of Frasier.